they're very rude not to acknowledge the great effort I made in teaching them something.
Yeah,
I mean, they should at least argue with it.
It's good intellectual bait with a hook to let them know, you know, that if they could follow up, they would lead them into discovering ion. But they don't take the hook.
Yeah.
They don't take the bait to come and ask questions.
Now, the only guy who's a cool guy and he's responding, you'll notice him show up occasionally, Paul Ledoux, L-E-D-O-U-X.
Yes.
Okay? And he usually comes in to insult me in front of all you guys.
Yes.
That's what he does. Okay, but Paul's no friend.
Was that the guy you told? There was someone you told him you need to retype your grammar. He responded. I think it's him that he responded, and you told him he needs to retype.
No, that's Alex Walsh. He's a guy in Dublin. I said, you got to fucking have better grammar here. I don't know what you're saying. You know, brush up on your grammar to have complete, you know, proper readable sentences. No, Paul Ledoux is a guy I knew in Halifax. He started the hippie newspaper in the late 60s. I think it was called the Gandalf, in Halifax. And he went to Dalhousie, maybe. And he was a bit of a musician. So he ends up in Montreal in the mid-70s, and he gets into the theater world. And then I bumped into him somewhere in the late 80s. So I knew he was in Montreal because I met him in Halifax in the street in 76. And he was the boyfriend in 1972 of a young lady I knew that we bumped into at the London Youth Hostel in September 72 after being at the Munich Olympics. And we took them to the Zappa concert with the Grand Wazoo Band that September 15th, 16th, 1972. So Paul and Shawnee were with us at that. So I had that in common with him in 72. That's where I basically met him, had more interaction than I had in Halifax. So, because I wasn't in Halifax that much in the late 60s, early 70s. So 72 we met, but it was through his girlfriend. And then we go to that. Then I meet him on the street in 76, and he's in Montreal. Then I meet him in Toronto in the late 80s, and he's been a theater or playwright guy, a little bit on the fringe, and occasionally doing a successful project on CBC. I think he did a satirical play on Anne Murray, Brian, in there in the 80s. So then Reiner's Gail Young, Reiner's wife, she brought him up like 8 years later or something, said, I met Paul, a very nice guy. If I wasn't married to Reiner, I'd hang out with Paul. So I got this compliment about him, but I didn't know what he was doing. And then, 2017, I find he's on Facebook, or there might be, another guy. He came into some other guy that I knew, and oh, there's Paul. So I go over and start reading it, and he's a guru or a switchboard operator, a very respected person in the underground theater, semi-touching the mainstream, but more in the Grant world of the Hummer sisters and Video Cabaret. Maybe you know those people, Brian?
The Witch Cabaret? Video Cabaret?
Video Cabaret and the Hummer sisters. You know about them?
A little bit. Heard of.
Okay, Michael Hollingsworth did the Canadian History Trilogy. You know that name?
He's involved with Now magazine, I think.
No, another Michael. No, he's a famous Canadian Toronto playwright.
Oh, Hollett.
He's doing Hollett. This.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, not Hollett. So anyways, there's this whole group of people, Queen Street people, and Paul seems to be the central switchboard there. His wife or girlfriend or partner is very involved with the Union of ACTRA, I think. You know, theatrical artists union. So she's a political bureaucrat. So I watched his form a little bit, saw that everybody was there, all the people who should have paid attention to me in the 80s, so I started posting. And then Paul and I got on the phone and talked and renewed our friendship. And then I told him about ION, so I sent him Bart's mashups. And the first mashup he heard. The first or second was Ion talked about niggers in the thing. He used that word. And Paul emails me and says, Bob, this is really bad. If I played this for some of my friends, which would include black people, in the culture world of theater and that in Toronto, I'd be in big trouble. This is really bad, Bob. You shouldn't fucking, why are you associated with it? Blah, blah, blah. So I get on the phone and we hash it out and he realizes I have a bit of a sense of humor or something. And I said, I won't post Ion on your site anymore. You know, if you don't like him, you have a problem with it. And he said, okay, good. And he actually went forward before we had a phone call. He posted to his club, all his people. He said, I have an acquaintance or friend who's posting stuff now. He's an interesting, got interesting ideas, but he did something really bad. And I'm wondering whether to ban him from the Facebook or not. And so people jumped on, you know, his page saying, no, I have people like that. Yeah, get rid of him, blah, 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 blah. You know, a different range of negative responses, even though they didn't know what the issue was. So then we get on the phone and then it smoothed it over. And so he let me stay, but I cannot post any Ion references. And so that's fair. Okay, so I do the pagan stuff over there. But he came over one time and he said, Bob Dobbs is a fraud. And he's saying that playfully. And then he says, I think he pushed down Ion. And so you probably saw it, Bert. I said, okay, buddy, you can't come in here fucking talking about Ion because I'll sick Ion on you and you're not going to fare very well. Something like that. I sort of went serious. Said, you can ban Ion over there, but you come over here, you're going to have to deal with fucking Ion. But he didn't respond to that, but it didn't cause any problems. I don't even know if he read it. But I keep posting, and often he'll take a break, and I'm the only one fucking posting to all these culture snobs. It's funny where I am. You know, LaRouche stuff, Mae Brussels stuff, all Zappa stuff. When I did the Zappa stuff, most people don't like Zappa in that world. He was a failure, and Paul tries to put down Zappa, but I keep countering with my stuff. So he told me when I sent him the hour and 50 minutes, 5-0 minutes of Zappa's late 60s guitar solos, he actually started listening to it. He goes, the first track, terrible, bad drumming, terrible drumming. Frank, nothing new there. Second track, terrible drumming again. Frank, still not very good. And then the third or fourth track, he goes, oh, okay, now Frank's doing something. So he didn't review it anymore, but he kind of started to notice the better Frank, you know, I guess. So that's an example of a person who has a lot of people on his Facebook page. A lot of famous theater directors and other people are on there and post stuff, ignoring me largely. But I am now speaking to Toronto, to the community that listened to CKLN, but never acknowledged what I did
right.
In the 80s.
Well, it must be so
dry. And I have a bit of support. As a matter of fact, in the latest video where I explained Trump, and assuming he listened to it, he said he did. I don't know what he takes in, because we do talk about Ion, but he said, Bob, this is the clearest statement of your theory ever. This is really good. So he actually, see, he's a bit open-minded, you know? He's a bit of a subgenius. He'll take it in. Nobody else would fucking say that or even admit they listened to it. So there's hope for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, maybe it just takes time. Maybe it just takes time of Trump, you know? Fresh Trump is like people are just freshly, like, allergic reaction. But after a while, when it's like, oh, yeah, he is demolishing the fake news that was such a damn problem. Oh, that's pretty good. Maybe we can live with that.
Yeah, the trend I've noticed among the liberals is that they're going off following the news, because it's too much about Trump, and they're sick of Trump talk. But I think they're picking up that, I'm going to have to start watching this with Trump having the edge and winning. They don't like dealing with Trump stories on that mood. They don't mind the past year where it was all, you know, really looked like they were going to kill Trump and get rid of him. Now they're saying, nah, I'm not going to become informed anymore. Now, the night Trump got elected, I didn't think I had broadcast much my position on Trump to Paul's place. But, you know, I watched them. That's when I was studying them in the summer of 2016, watching how they're reacting to Trump. And they had the typical left liberal shock of this, and definitely Hillary will get rid of this guy. And so I got the morning of Trump's election, you know, next morning, I get a private message from Paul. You were right, you fucking asshole.
He
was done tongue-in-cheek, I think, but he was shocked that Trump won, and he somehow knew I was predicting it. But I don't know where he got it from, because I didn't say it on their site, I don't think. And we hadn't had the argument over ION yet. But the
This makes sense in a very lo-fi way of just, oh, we thought Trump had only like 20% support, like just enough to get that nomination. But he actually had more than 50 plus. And oh shit, like Bob. You know, it's just like so who said that they got what Trump was tapping into? Right. Bob says that. So Bob, you were right. Even if he doesn't understand, you know, you were the one that Bob was actually, that Trump was actually tapping into something. So
and I didn't know he knew that I was, you know, predicting Trump. So it surprised me that I was the first guy he fucking wrote to. You were fucking right, Bob, you fucking asshole. Okay, then his next, that was to be privately on his page to everybody else. He said, wake me in 2020. That was his, he stayed up all night, watched it, then he was going to bed. So he said, wake me in 2020. That was his left liberal correct position. But he couldn't. I watched them. They couldn't fall asleep. Too much chaos and craziness was going on. They all remained fascinated. So then he turned me on to Charles P. Go ahead.
Wouldn't that have been wouldn't that have been a pleasant surprise if it's like, oh, you're actually going to turn it off? Because, you know, it just, that really speaks to the whole thing where it's kind of bullshit thing where it's like, oh, wake me in 2020. It's like, that speaks to the way that, you know,
that's user's content.
You like
news is wallpaper.
Or yeah, exactly. You like the Democrat president because they're like, they're telegenic, you know, the stuff they say is agreeable on TV. Like you're saying, wake me in 2020. You know, you're abdicating the war's over now?
Yeah.
It's just the idea, I can't stand that I'm going to have to see this guy.
No, that's a good point. That's where the president, he's talking from his TV body with a chemical body perspective. He doesn't know that he wants his TV body to be interiorly designed by an acceptable image.
Right, yeah.
And he's forgotten his activism. He's a union guy, you know. What about fucking getting a good fight? You know, why don't you get out there and fight Trump? You know, why are you giving up? So, yeah, it said a lot. I found it was a great line. It's a good, funny line, but as you say, it says reveals a lot.
And wake me.
And then he never.
Wake me when I can see clearly.
Right. And so he turned me on. He loved Charles Pierce's column for Esquire because I didn't know about him. So then I started reading what he was posting. Paul was, and I said, oh, this guy, he's a very good writer, he's very funny, he's very rude about Trump and the people around him. Have you ever read him? I post him occasionally, Charles Pierce.
I guess I've probably read him then. I'm not.
On my site, you might have read him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put him on there and Matt Tybee, or however you say it. But so then when Paul goes away, his partner got a big award. She was from Moncton, New Brunswick, I think. So she got a big award at Dalhousie. So they had to go back to Nova Scotia to get the award. So he wasn't on his site. So I dominated his site for a week and a half or 2 weeks. But I showed I was cool because I would keep them up on Charles Pierce, you know. But I was posting other stuff, you could say, from the right. Not that I identify with it, but I do present both, and I was doing that on their site, and probably that really fucked them up because they don't want that kind of shit on the Sacred Paul Facebook page, where that's the Union Hall, you know. You don't put posters of Trump in the Union Hall. That's what I was doing.
Yeah. It's funny. It doesn't matter how much stuff anti-Trump stuff you post. Like, no, everybody knows, everybody's heard you laugh in triumph at Trump's terrorizing of the media scale.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Buying that you're unbiased and don't love the guy.
That's right. But then, you know, why am I celebrating? I always say I'm only interested to see how fucking accurate Ion is. That's my whole reason I'm following this.
Well, and also you love Trump, and it's like when they think Trump, they think a political position, and it's like, no,
yeah.
No, that was assigned to him by his enemies. You don't even know what the hell he is.
Right. You don't know what his appeal is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I there are people out there, a lot of people out there who like Trump because they like shit disturbers. They like someone who's just spitting in the establishment face that we've had to put up for 20 years, the Clintons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're perversely liking him. And I include myself, perverse, on one part of myself, but I include the technical ionic scientific laboratory interest in Trump.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So I'm on a few other sites, too, besides that. You know Clifton Joseph?
No.
The Toronto dub poet?
I mean, I'm bad with names. So maybe I know him.
All right, well, Clifton Joseph, very, very big deal in the Jamaican black community. He had a show on CKLN, and he used to be on CBC. I knew him from CKLN. He doesn't seem to mind the stuff I post. He shares it or lets it be. He's a pretty open-minded guy. My last encounter, two encounters with him. You have to understand, this guy's a heavy guy in the 80s and 90s for the black youth community of hip-hop world of Toronto. He's like the Eminence Grease. He's a bit older, and he did poetry and could write stuff. And even be he'd be on your TV Ontario show about books. He'd be the token black guy.
Okay.
You know, the one Daniel Richler did?
I'm sure I've seen him then.
Okay. So in May, when did this happen? April, May, 92. I'm not at CKLN anymore. But I go down to the HMV store right there on Yonge Street. And there's Bob's Mediacology, you know, Dave and Nelson's album, in fucking full display in the fucking window of this big store. It was featured.
Huh.
I don't know. Jerry Belanger knew these guys. I don't know how, but it was you know, like the big albums get into the window, you know. And there was Bob's Musicology. So I knew that. Then I went over to the world's biggest bookstore, which is very nearby, and I was looking at stuff. And I bump into Clifton Joseph. So we get talking. I hadn't talked to him in a year or so. And I didn't know him that well. But I said, hey, come on. When he left the store, I left with him. And I said, hey, come over this way. So I walked him over to the HMV, which was right across the street. And I got him to look at the fucking album. I said, what do you think of that? He goes, what? Is that you? And I said, yeah. Well, how could that be? What the fuck? You know, this is like he was totally flummoxed by this album right there in the store. And in the front window. So I'm sure he walked away really bamboozled. And then I went to New York City via Los Angeles, and that was that. So in October 2007, with Greg Duffel and those guys and the CKLN people, Milton Brown. Forget Milton. He was the main black Eminence Grease on CKLN on Sunday afternoon. Very important show for the black community, all levels of black, you know, Caribbean, African and everything. I was a friend of his, and you'll hear me interact with him on the archives of CKLN with Mike occasionally. Anyways, and he and Norman, you know Norman Otis Richmond, Brian?
I don't recognize the name.
Okay, he's another major guy. He had the Saturday show, and Milton had the Sunday show. And the night Peter Tosh was found to be dead. Friday evening, I was down at CKLN, and I bumped into Milton and Norman Otis. So we walked up Young, discussing the tragic death of Peter Tosh, and this really affected those two guys because they were, you know, aficionados of reggae and knew a lot of those people. And I remember sort of telling them about Mae Brussels stuff and educating them on some aspects of whatever would come up in that thing. And they were quite intrigued because they spent quite a time walking and talking with me. So that was whenever he died. That would have to be in, say, about 1990. So then, so 2007, I go to Milton's funeral. And he had called me when we were in New York around 2004, saying he'd been diagnosed by cancer and did I have any stuff. So I gave him Carolyn's information on 714X, but didn't work, or he didn't do it, or he couldn't afford it. But he died in October 2007 when I was in Toronto. And so Greg Duffel and them exiled from CKLN, but they wanted to go to the funeral. So we get there. So in the schmoozing part after the wake funeral memorial, there's Clifton Joseph. So I haven't seen him in 15 years, 92 to 2007. So, hey, Clifton, what's up? And he looks at me rather askance, and he says, well, I'm not up on conspiracies much, Bob. I don't have any conspiracies to report. So he lumped me into as a conspiracy thing, which is more Bob Marshall. And so we talked a little bit, and then he withdrew from me and talked to some other guy. So it wasn't a very good meeting, or I thought there should have been more to talk about, but he didn't seem any value in talking to me, and he didn't express any interest or curiosity about where the fuck I'd been or what happened to the album. Maybe he didn't even remember it. So then when I find him on Facebook last year, I said, I wonder what his response will be. So I started posting there, and he was okay with it. So I don't know what he thinks of me, and not that it matters, but I'm there to help these guys. They might not know it, but I'm trying to save their fucking lives, right? I'm there to save their lives, but I'm not allowed to talk about how I'm doing it, so I have to go back and recycle the Holy Offices and post McLuhan stuff, which they think I'm into or I'm a follower of. No, this is just fatty bullshit because I can't tell you what's going on. So I have a funny Facebook life. I mean, occasionally I'll post something about Carolyn, like to Donna Lipchick and them, and different women and that. They don't fucking respond. They don't. Unless they do, and they don't say anything. Yeah, they don't respond. They don't thank me. They don't say, whoa, I looked into the RNA reset, and I'm going to get a bundle. They say nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a strange.
So,
it's all frequency based, Bob. It's definitely.
That's right.
That's frequency based. I mean, you give them seeds of Carolyn and they don't bite, then that's really, they're just. There may not be hope
stupid.
For them.
Yeah, there's no hope. And it's frequency. I'm probably posting, and it's not even showing up in their world on their Facebook page. I'm living in my own crazy world. I think it's being posted, being seen. Okay, so look, unless someone has something to say, let's go play the first great excerpt, great Ion stuff coming up.
Yeah.
You're going to learn some never-heard-before stuff on this one. Let's see. Michael or Nick's been muted. You want to say anything, Michael or Nick?
Let's do it.
Let's go, Bob.
Who's that?
Already.
Let's get going.
Who said let's do it? That's Fred?
It's Nodder.
Okay.
Nodder.
Oh, Nodder. Nodder in British Columbia.
Nodder.
How you doing, man?
Hey, pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Yeah, you got some attention from Carol on the chat line during the music. That's put that in your resume.
Yeah, exactly.
She said hello to me. Dr. Dean said hello to me on the chat line by listening to the Beatles.
Well, I didn't even know. I didn't
well,
even know
Zappa.
Who Connie was.
Oh, well, see how I live, Carol? He should know it was you. I assumed he did. So I ridiculously, counterintuitively, just fucking tease him about it, and he learned something from it. That's what it is. That's what these Facebookers, they don't know I'm fucking, my teasing of them is fucking educational. That's what they don't get. Yeah, I'm the moderate Jeremiah in the wilderness, but it's right in the middle of everybody. I'm not in the wilderness. I'm right in the middle of the crowd, yelling and screaming. Waking
I love
up
it.
The people
love
have been
it.
Raised from the dead. Look at this, another guy raised from the dead. Anybody care? What? What? Oh, you're not 95 years old. Shut up. His response. Well, you don't want to see this guy? Look, we just resuscitated him. No.
All right.
Not another one.
Oh. Yeah. Would you say not another one?
Yeah.
Another one.
Okay. Here we go. Hope all is well. I'm going to mute you. And this is about 47 minutes long. Okay? Mute.